me up something.
Gotta get your brain right if you're trying to make $1 million. If you ain't gonna do it for yourself, then do it for your mama. Only stay surrounded by them people if you know they solid. Elevate your hustle up today to double up your profit. Trying to learn some game, Xavier gonna talk about it. No Deanna, speak that shit that everybody vouching. Ain't no more excuses valid. Get up off the couch and get up in your bag. To your bank account, need an accountant. I study millionaires cause I was born a visionary. You still believe in limitations, why you acting scary? You can't distract me from the paper. I've been chasing greatness. I'm stacking now and balling later. In the conversation, we strategizing, monetizing, piling up investments, and sacrificing temporary for bigger blessings. Yeah, a tapped in boss mind state. I multiply my grind rate and I match the way I vibrate. Gotta get your brain right if you're trying to make $1 million. If you ain't gonna do it for yourself, then do it for your mama. Only stay surrounded by them people if you know they solid. Elevate your hustle up today to double up your profit. Trying to learn some game, Xavier gonna talk about it. No Deanna, speak that shit that everybody vouching. Ain't no more excuses valid. Get up off the couch and get up in your bag. To your bank account, need an accountant.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Millionaire Mindsets Podcast. I'm your host, Xavier, and I got my co-host, Dee, back with me. You know, she's been in and out a couple of episodes.
Man. I know, but I'm back, and we're doing better.
Back and better than ever. But yeah, so today we're going to get right into it, man. Today's special guest is we got a guy that he's doing dope things in the tech industry, and I feel like we needed to have him on. We've been trying to get this episode done for a little while now, and he's I'm pretty sure you guys who know him, if you don't, get from under a rock and get familiar. And he's a security engineer, he's an investor, entrepreneur, and I'm talking about Tay, aka Tay on Tech. So welcome to the show, my guy.
Man, thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, we glad to have you here, man. You know, like I said, we've been trying to get this one done for a minute. I know you got some, because I don't know if we ever did a show like catered to what we about to, like, this conversation is what we're going to be catered to. I don't know if we ever.
Hey, man, I'm looking forward to seeing it, man. Yeah. I was looking to bring something new to the table.
Hey, man, you got to do the tech industry justice on this episode.
Exactly. I know, I got exactly. To, man.
No, you will.
People don't really know about the tech industry like that. I mean, it's starting to get popular now. You know, with the Twitter, everyone talking about the security industry or the tech industry, they seeing the salary. So now it's starting to put on notice now.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But so first question, getting right to it. So for the people that might not be familiar, just give it like some background on yourself.
A lot of people don't really know, but I'm from Mississippi. So I came, actually moved out to Texas for a track. So I was running track in college, but I ended up having some knee injuries. So I came out here, one of the scholarships I actually had ended up being rescinded due to the injury. And so at the moment, I didn't really know what I wanted to do. I was originally going for business marketing. I hated business classes. I was never going to class. And so I finally knew, I'm like, well, I'm good with computers. Like, let me go ahead and do that. And so when I was actually looking at like what cities I want to go to, I was just kind of Indeed, just looking like, okay, security engineer, IT analyst. Like, I was just looking at it, and I was looking at like Alabama, Mississippi, because that's the reason why I went to school at. So I was looking at Alabama, Mississippi, and it was just like no jobs was there at all. And so I started looking at Dallas, and it was like a gold mine. I was like, I'm moving to Dallas. So like it was pretty good for me though, because I already knew exactly what I wanted to do. Like, if I didn't know what I wanted to do, probably wouldn't have been in Texas. But I knew exactly what I wanted to do. I had mapped everything out. So when I came out here, I went to a junior college because school, like, you know, I was paying out of state tuition at the time. And so I decided to just go to a junior college. And that's when I really just found out, like, the tech industry is like where the money's at. And I was like, okay, well, let me go ahead and do it. I was good at it. I just started getting internships. And yeah, it just pretty much landed my first job. I actually received it before I even graduated school. So I had landed my first job, I think this semester before I graduated. And then at the time, all of my classes were remote. So like I'm working this job, I was actually working remote there as well too. So it was hybrid. I was working sometimes in office, sometimes online. So it was pretty good, man. Overall, I pretty much had like a good experience in doing what I'm doing right now. And just for me doing that kind of led to other things. At the time, I didn't really do too much with my money. So I was just always saving it. Well, at first I was kind of blowing a little bit, But then I had came in and I was like, okay, let me kind of get my finances situated. And I kind of pretty much just started investing like heavily. Like I would probably pay all my bills and use everything else I have left over and invest. And I would just like live off my credit cards throughout the month. And I just pay off everything once the month's over with and just start it back over. So I guess I would say I was kind of being frugal a little bit. But yeah, I was just pretty much trying to set everything up so I can pretty much, I guess, live the way I'm living now.
you want to say something?
Yeah, and I was going to say, I love hearing your story because it's very relatable, and especially with tech being so big right now. For a lot of people, a lot of our listeners are like younger people, and they may be thinking about getting into tech. So from a college standpoint, what degrees in tech would you say are worth pursuing or are going to be like very useful in the near future?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I'm not going to say I'm anti-school. I just don't like school, but people don't really know you don't need a degree to actually get into the tech industry. I mean, you have companies like Google and Facebook, and they like, oh yeah, we don't really need a degree. And then you have Elon Musk, you know, you have all these like industry leaders, like kind of making a stamp like, hey, you know, you don't actually need to go to school. But if you did go to school, I would say information technology, business computer information systems, computer science, even going to be a programming, things like that. Me personally, I hate programming. I don't really like it. And that's another thing that people don't realize. You don't need to know how to program to get into the tech industry. You don't even need to take math or be good at math. I didn't take any math classes in college. But I also like use the system. Like a lot of programming, the programming class that I did take at UNT, the school I went to, University of North Texas, they required you to take like calculus one, calculus two before you even take your first programming class. So me being me, I'm like, okay, well, it's a workaround for this. Like, I'm not like, there are community colleges that allows you to take these programming courses without even having like prerequisites. So I would go over to a community college, take the programming classes there, and I would just transfer them over. So I'm saving money. I don't have to actually waste my time taking math classes. And if they say anything for me to go take the next math class, I'm like, well, I have the prerequisite right here. I've already taken a programming class. So you mean to tell me you're going to try to stop me from taking the next course because I didn't take a math class when I've already shown that I can do the work. And so I was always kind of back and forth with my advisors doing that. But at the end of the day, they really couldn't say anything about it because I already showed that I can do the work. So just go ahead and move me up to the next class.
I was going to say, so for the people that's listening to this, they might be thinking about getting to tech, and with you being a security engineer, and they may not know what that is exactly. What is, you mind just breaking that down, what is a security engineer?
Yeah, so right now, I guess I would consider an insider threat engineer, security engineer. It's pretty much the same thing, but basically, I'm pretty much tasked with creating like threat detection. Like say, for instance, of a company, they're having situations where someone's trying to breach their company network, or I'm just looking for like certain use cases. Use cases are pretty much what we call like when a certain incident that's going against the company policy or going against a procedure that we normally wouldn't do. And if it's breaking that, then I'm pretty much just finding ways to stop that and mitigate that from happening. So I know like right now, my biggest task right now is like data infiltration for employees. I work for a financial firm, so that's pretty much a big thing right now. You know, you constantly always have people sending out data. They may be trying to send out financial models or sending information to like media companies, New York Times, you know, the whistleblowers and things like that. So pretty much I'm setting up mechanisms and using tools to pretty much stop that from happening, detecting it from it happening, or just doing active threat hunting, just pretty much trying to find those indications that they may be potentially trying to leak information. So that's kind of what I'm doing right now. But security engineer, depending on what company you're at, it can be very different. You know, a security engineer at Facebook is going to be completely different from a security engineer working at Verizon. It just really depends on the company. But most of the time, it's really, you know, you protecting the company, that security network, just pretty much setting up mechanisms or tools, pretty much kind of stop that and detect it. So in a basic form, that's pretty much what you're doing.
Okay, that makes sense. And I know I've also seen you talk about how you landed a six-figure job at 21. And that is, I know people, when they hear that, they're like, what the hell? Because that's extremely dope. You know, most people, whether they're just work a job and they're not making much money, or they still in college and they definitely ain't making money in college. But if you went the route me and Deanna took with the military, you 21 in the military, you definitely ain't making no money. So how did you land that six figure job at 21?
So this actually kind of goes into like the networking of things. So originally, like my first internship, I was working at this company called Celanese. And that's pretty much where everything started. At that time, I had an internship offer from like a couple other big companies. But the CISO, or the information security officer right there, he was like a well-known security engineer or security professional in the industry. And so in my head, I'm like, okay, well, I can probably sacrifice a couple of dollars here. And other jobs, that was definitely paying. And the security industry, when you go on internships, $20, $25, $30 an hour as an intern. So at that time, I think they was paying me about $18 an hour. And like the highest one I had was about $26, $27 an hour. But at the time, I'm like, okay, well, this is my first internship. I think I would rather sacrifice those couple of dollars now and learn up under him, getting his network, you know, talk with the people he's talking with. And then that kind of helped me out at the end of the road. So actually, like, after I left the internship, like literally every internship I was getting was having to do with him. They were like, oh, you worked on the such and such? I'm like, yeah, you know, that was, you know, that's who hired me in. Like, oh, well, I know you're a good guy. Hire. It was just getting hired. And that's actually how I got a consultant as well, too. My direct manager was one of the hiring managers there. He's like, oh, well, I know him. I've worked with him and brought him in. So during that time, like I interned like about four or five different companies. And my philosophy for doing that was I wanted to get a holistic view on how security is done in each industry. I didn't want to stay at one company for 2-3 years because then I'm limiting myself. So I interned in aviation, gas and oil, tech, hospital, networking. So I pretty much, I touched each different industry so I can get it like a holistic view. Okay, well, I've done this here, I've done that here. So I see how it's done differently. And by the time I had finished my last internship with Cisco, I was already starting to receive offers. Like it was like, and this company right here, particularly, they had reached out to me about a year before they actually originally came to me trying to hire me. But at the time I was like, I don't really think that'd be the best opportunity for me right now. So I want to get a little bit more experience. And I wanted to pretty much leverage that when it came to negotiation. And that's the mistake a lot of people make when they're, you know, getting into a new job. They don't really negotiate, or they don't really know that you can negotiate. But me personally, I'm negotiating every salary I get. So I had like three different offers, and like the way there was like that interview process was so fast. Like it was like three different teams that wanted to interview me. I think I had a total of like 7-8 interviews, and all of them was like back to back to back to back to back. So it was quite, you know, it was, I knew they wanted me. And so the offer that they originally gave me, I think it was like 85,000 or something like that. And so I was like, you know, that's not really what I wanted. Like I had always aimed for like 90,000+. And the institution that I'm at right now, they offered me when I had graduated school as well too. They had offered me around, I think, 89,000 with a 10K sign-on bonus. And the actual bonus structure they had, I think I was like 10% or something like that, 10% a year. It was something like that. And so I brought the offer back to them. I was like, hey, you know, guys, I really want to be here. This is the place I want to be. Because it actually was like at least I thought the learning curve was going to be great. I was going to be working from home. And that was the bigger factor of me working from home. I'm like, okay, well, this would be pretty cool. And so I had brought the offer back to them. I think a couple hours later, they came back with an offer of 98,000 with a 9,000 sign-on bonus and a 12% bonus. So when you're looking at that, a yearly standard, that's probably like, what, 117,000 in the first year. And I stayed there for about 8 months. And so I left there. It wasn't really like, I didn't feel like I was learning as much as I thought I was going to learn. And so that's when I went into consulting. My direct manager from the company Celanese, he had reached out to me. He was like, hey, you know, we're actually looking for some senior consultants. You know, I really think you'll be a great candidate. I can forward your resume over to the hiring manager or things like that. And, you know, we can get you going on. So I interviewed with them. Like, the interview process took maybe 2 weeks. And they came, like, the offer they gave me, it was more than that offer. I got a sign-on bonus. And I was like, this is where I'm going. So I was able to travel I really learned a lot. Like I think I did consulting for about 2 years, and I like to say I probably got about 4 to 5 years of security experience within those 2 years because I was always doing something different. And pretty much kind of the reason why I'm at right now, I'm a senior engineer working there. And it was a long journey. A lot of sleepless nights, but it was definitely
worth it,
in my opinion.
It was definitely. What I love about this conversation and doing this episode is like I was reading something about how somebody was saying like in today's times, like working in tech, like being a security engineer, stuff like that, it's pretty much like the new, it was like the new doctors for our generation. The new, it seemed like these people, by the time we're in our 40s, 50s, are the people that's going to be like having wealth or building wealth or rich and stuff like that. So that's why I think this combo is super important to have, because a lot of people, they're still not hip. And like you said, you necessarily might not even need to go to college these days. Like, you know what I'm saying? You can just get some certs and pile up the information and start making some good money,
man. Easy. That's the thing, like people, they just think like it's so hard, but it's really not. Like anything you do new is going to be hard. Like you go investing in stocks, you're going to real estate, when you're unfamiliar with something, it's going to naturally be hard, but once you kind of get under, you get it done. Like the tech industry, the only industry where you can probably go work, do some training for 36 months and end up making $80,000, $90,000, $100,000 a year. Like, I don't really know another industry that allows you to have that amount of like training time and with that much growth within that amount of time. Like, it's, I mean, if you know something, I don't. Yeah. I really don't know. I really don't know another industry that pay you like that with that little amount of training experience. And then think about it, I know like a couple of years ago, the security industry actually had a negative unemployment rate. So it was actually like, it was way more jobs and actual people to fill those jobs. And they just say like, we don't have like enough skilled people at least. And people didn't really know about it, or they're not really accustomed to the tech industry, or really know like what it's really about. So it's just kind of like pushed it to the side, like, or not even pushed it to the side, just don't really know about it. Cause I didn't really know about tech programming and nothing like that until I actually got to college. So in high school, like I was always like, okay, well, I'm gonna be a business marketer. I'm a business ad. Like, I thought I was always gonna be an entrepreneur. I am, but at the time I was like flipping shoes. I was flipping, like I was jailbreaking iPhones. Like I was pretty much doing anything that I could to do that. I actually bought my first car flipping shoes. So
That's another money maker industry too. Go ahead, DLC, you want to say something?
Something I wanted you to double back on is that you talked about how you had to be real strategic before you got like that first position. As far as like taking very specific internships and doing certain things to increase your value. So like, where did that thought process come from? Like, did you just already know, like, this is what you gotta do to get in at the type of pay and position you want? Or like, was it like somebody guiding you into that process? And is there any tips you can give people on how to do that?
Yeah, so actually I did not have any guidance. It was like a lot of trial and error, but me, the type of person I am, I've always kind of been strategic about anything that I do. Like I'd be planning stuff like 5 and 10 years before it even happened. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna take it off. I'm gonna take this off. I'm gonna take it off. So I think when that really came, it was just more so me. I was getting bored with like certain internships. I was like, okay, well, this was kind of fun, but let me try to do something different in security. So I was still doing security, but I was doing like different sections of security. Like I would probably do like security engineering, or I would do like penetration testing, or I would do incident response here. So it was also me doing like different fields in the security industry, or different fields in the security industry. And I was just doing a different industry of the actual like oil, gas, business, things like that. So the way I guess I really took it, I guess it was just more so like I was like, let me just try something different. Let me kind of go into a different thing. And then like as I started getting internships, I started running to other professionals, other Black professionals. So I guess I started getting a little guidance then. And I was just kind of talking. I was like, hey, man, you actually doing it. Like, you know, being pretty smart about this. Like, not really just limit yourself to one position. Don't limit yourself to one thing. Because when like the skill interest is always changing. Like you can't just sit there and do one specific skills and think you're going to be like a value employee or a value person, a value security engineer, because it's always evolving. Like right now, like cloud security, that's one of the hot things right now in the industry, and they make a ton of money. That's kind of what I'm trying to convert to right now. But yeah, it just, you always got to have a different skill set. You got to always keep learning. And that's what I like about the industry, because I'm going to forever have a job. I'm just not going anywhere. And, you know, as I'm keep honing my skills and learning new different things, then my value just keep going up. So that's the way I'm looking at it. And me personally, I'm not afraid to say, like, when I got to the industry, I do love it, but I did it for the money. Like, it's, you know, people always try to like make you feel bad for the money. And I'm like, well, I have to pay bills. Like, I want to have a certain lifestyle. I want to have like live a certain type of way. Like, you wouldn't take a job because, you know, like, I mean, you know, people always trying to say you do passion over, you know, money and things like that. But me personally, I feel like do something you probably don't kind of dislike for a little bit, make a little money. Then you go do your passion. Yeah, and that's just how I am. Me personally, I just happen to love tech and the money's good. So it's like, and I always try to tell people, like, tech really changed my life. Like, me personally, I come from a single family home. My mom worked two jobs, you know, so I've always kind of seen like the hard work, and I always seen that. And so I was always like, I got to come up with some way to kind of change the, you know, trajectory of my like family tree. And so the tech industry, it allowed me to like invest in real estate, the stocks, like certain investments. And it's completely changed my life. And I tell people that, they all may think like, okay, well, if I go into the tech industry, it's going to make me rich. No, not necessarily. You still have to, like, you know, put different things in places. You have to still like be strategic financially when you're doing different things. Like, yeah, it can definitely put some money in your pocket, but if you still have like those same, like that same mindset that you had before you got into the tech industry, or you're not really being smart with your money, you're blowing it, then you pretty much back in square one. Like, you're still living paycheck to paycheck, not really doing anything. And I used to kind of make that first mistake when I first got my job, like, you know, making six figures, 21. I'm like, oh, I'm blowing money here, boom, boom, boom. I was living paycheck to paycheck, but it didn't seem like it because, like, my paychecks are pretty big. It's cool. But I'm nervous. I'm like, man, what am I doing with my money? So I just sat down, lined everything up, and I was like, all right, well, I need to eliminate this, this, this. And then I just like, all right, I'm just going to invest all my money, pay bills.
That's all.
Live off credit cards.
All right. So you got, like, after getting a good job like that, and you making good money, you making real good money. Like, so what's those next steps you take to take you to a whole another level? You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, we had this conversation already. So, but we just got to, for the listeners that's listening to this, because a lot of people, they'll get to a point, like I see a lot, they get to a point where they make this some money, but the progress ain't really, you know what I'm saying, they're not taking next steps. It's like, they might just be maintaining. So what's some of the steps that you took to get you just, because you, for the listeners, Tay's only 24 years old, you know what I'm saying? It's not like he's 30 or nothing yet. He's only 24. So what's some of the steps you took that could just continue to level you up?
So for me, like, and I, like, when I say this, people kind of look at me crazy, but I'm not going to, like, you know, this book is always frowned upon. It's always frowned upon. But I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And I kid you not, it changed my mindset. Like, you know, don't get me wrong, the book, it ain't really telling you nothing that you don't know.
Exactly.
It's really not. But it changed like your mindset and how you look at money.
Money, yep.
And that's when I read that book. Somebody had I forgot exactly what's up to read the book. But when I read the book, like, I've always pretty much been good with finances. I've always like invested in stock. I wouldn't trade anything like that, but I was invested in the stock market, buying and holding. Like, I was always doing that. Like, I had been doing that since I was like 18 or 19 years old. So it's nothing. I just like, oh, let me kind of start doing. So I read that book, and I was just like, when I read the book, and then that's around the time when I was just spending like so much money. Like, I would go to bars. I was literally going out. Like, man, and I was talking, you remember, we were talking about this last night. Like, I was going out, like, the crowd that I was in, I was going out Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, spending $200-$300 a night just at a bar or something like that for no reason. Then I was like caught up into this whole like buying like designer shoes and designer wallets and belts and all this. And I'm just looking, I'm just like, man, like where's my money really going? Like, I'm still saving money, but it's like I'm spending this money, but I don't really have nothing to show for it. And so I just started just like researching some stuff, just started looking up stuff. And then I think I actually saw it on Twitter, like about like the Rich Dad Poor Dad. I said, let me buy this book. So I get it. I read the book in like a couple of hours. Like, it was just like really interesting, like how he just kind of was portraying everything. Like, oh, he was taking his money, making it work for him. Like, you know, I still got the concept of making your money work for itself, but I was just investing in stocks. Like, that's really all I was doing. And so after I had kind of like, you know, started, all right, I'm going to eliminate going out. So I had stopped going out. I'd probably go out here and there, but I was like, I was constantly saving my money. Like and at this time I was getting paid monthly. So I would pay all of my bills, like pay my car note, my rent, I'll pay all that. And then legit all the money I had in my account, I would just go throw in investments. I would probably have like maybe $200 left for the month. And I would just like live off credit cards. I always pay my credit card balance off in full and things like that. But I was always strictly just do that. And so while that money is like just sitting there kind of growing and things like that, I was like, okay, I want to get into real estate. At the time I was always traveling. I had met my real estate agent and she's very smart. So that's when she kind of introduced me to house hacking and things like that. But at the time I was like, I don't think I really kind of want to get by a house right now. Like that's going to be like, you know, a lot of work for me right now. I'm traveling all the time. I don't really have time to do that. And I didn't really think like the cash flow of it would be, you know, be that good for me to have passive income. I'm getting a pay down on the principal and the mortgage and things like that. But I was like really kind of focused on actually getting passive income. So I actually kind of ran into it and I had met this contractor and he introduced me into a, like these investments that I'm doing. I'm not going to say exactly what it is. But yeah, so I do that. So at the time, like I actually took money out of my 401k. I had like got a loan out from my 401k. And I think I had took out like $40,000 out of my 401k. And I put it in that investment. And at that time, I was getting about $15,000, $20,000 like every 60 days. So I was making like $20,000 every 60 days. So I'm like, okay, well, all right, what I'm going to do with this money now, throw it in the stock market. Because that's really all I knew at the time. Throw it in the stock market, throw it in the stock market, throw it in the stock market. And then as the time, I would like increase my investment. So I started increasing it to around like 50, 60,000. So now I'm getting 30,000 around this time right here. So I'm like, I'm still putting more money in there, still putting more money in that. And then at this time, I'm like, okay, well, I feel like I should get a property now. So I ended up getting me a property. I think I paid about 80,000 for it. And so that was like the first property I got. Then I messed around my real estate agent. She had came to me. She was like, hey, I have like a great, you know, investment property. I feel like that'd be really good for you. It's right. This is actually the property I've been telling you about right now that I've been working with. Mm-hmm. I've been working on it for about a year now. And so I got the property for about $30,000, but it needs a lot of work. So all in, I'll probably be like maybe $110,000, $120,000 all into it. But the thing about it is, like the house, like it's right there by like a college, like it's literally across the street from a college. And so I'm going to rent it out by each room. And I was like, okay, I could probably get around $650 for that. So I'm like, okay, well, this is the cash flow that I'm really looking for right now. Mm-hmm. And so it's been really risky. I've really like dealt with a lot of things. I've definitely put like a lot of money, a lot of time into it. But overall, I feel like it's going to be definitely worth it. So as I started making that money, then like the pandemic hit, pandemic ended up coming, and this is when I really made my money. Like this is when I really like feel like this right this time, like everything was just dropping. And I was like, I'm telling all my friends, I'm like, bro, no, keep buying, like I'm literally putting a group message because we had like all the group message and things like that, like a little stock group message where we just kind of talk about stocks. And I was like, bro, I'm telling y'all right now, the government is not about to let these companies fall. So at this time, like everything's dropping, I'm still buying. I think my portfolio is around like 160, 170,000 at this time, because I'm still putting money in there. Everything rises, everything shoot up. My portfolio is now like 300 some thousand dollars. So I'm like, oh, like it bet. Tesla started coming around. So I started buying Tesla. And this is still coming back from like the investments that I've been making. And I'm getting this money back every 60 days. So I'm just, every liquid money I'm getting, I'm putting into like Tesla and Square and Palantir Technologies, like pretty much it's all tech company. That's really what my portfolio consists of. And so I started putting money in there, started doing that. And then at the time, like my portfolio finally hit like $500,000. And so I'm like, this is just me buying and holding. Like right now, I probably like hedge it, like using options. Like right now, like Fubo was like a stock that I really hedged against a lot. Like they really just been going down, but I take that money from me hedging and just put it back into the stock. So it's like, I'm not really spending too much money. I'm just using money that's already there to make more money. And so definitely kind of went there. And then I was like so caught up in like, all right, I want to make $1 million a year. I want to make $1 million a year. I wasn't really keeping track of like actually what I already had. And that's when like Ms. Avery and I was talking. I was like, oh, like let me kind of check everything out. And I was like, oh, like I'm a millionaire. Like it didn't feel like it was like yeah, I was like, I'm a millionaire. Like, right. But it didn't feel like it. It was just like cool, like you know it is. And like that thing about it though, like I didn't really do nothing like spectacular. It was really just me buying stock, like really like half of my network is because of stock. Mm-hmm. The rest of it is like cash or like, you know, properties. But yeah, it's 50% of like what I'm worth is because of stocks.
See, but it's two things I love about that story. The first one is just, it shows you how when dips happen, you know, the pandemic happened, everybody was panicking, figuring out what they're going to do, selling. And that shows you, if you double down, when shit get low, man. That's the name of the game. Buy low, sell high. Well, keep man. Forever. Whatever you don't buy low, keep forever. Fuck, sell high, buy low, keep forever. So, like, you know what I'm saying? So, it's like, you double down, and that made you became a millionaire during a pandemic. Like, while most of the world is unfortunately struggling and going through it, you became a millionaire through the pandemic by just doubling down on your investment. And it also shows another thing I like is how you talked about like following, like trying to get the money first, get the bag first, then follow your passion. Cause if you wasn't in a position where you was got that good job cause you was trying to make money and you was trying to follow your passion, doing some kind of BS, making a little money, you wouldn't even have that. You wouldn't have the money to even make those investments. Exactly. So that shows you, like I said, Tay only 24 years old. You know what I'm saying? That's a huge, like you wouldn't, like, I think people could learn from there, bro. Like if you just chase the, if, I don't want to say chase the bag, but go after the money, especially if you're young. You got forever to follow your passions and all that.
Not for real. and that's actually when I started making money. That's because I had lumps of scholarship, like, I think like 2 years afterwards. It was like Tay on Tech Diversity and Inclusion scholarship. I had did that about 2 years ago. I just did it for like mostly STEM students, like, you know, African-Americans, minorities, because, you know, we don't really have that, you know, mm-hmm. people don't really pay attention to us like that, especially like, you know, like the lower neighborhoods and things like that. And especially like when you're in STEM, like you need a laptop. So I think at, like the scholarship, I think I gave out like 2,000 and a laptop to each individual. It was like two people, and I had pretty much done that by myself. And I know that's actually what I'm trying to start back again this year. Like I'm still trying to work out the kinks exactly how I want to do it. But yeah, it's like right now I'm more so like, now I'm in a position to start giving back more. Mm-hmm. And like my mm-hmm. goal right now is probably like give out around like 50,000 and scholarships right now. And that's pretty much what I'm trying to plan right now. And that's really because I know at the time, like I was on like consultation calls and things like that. And like, I specifically have like a scholarship fund just for that. Like I have like a separate account. I'm like, okay, well, all this funds go up, like my scholarships and things like that. And so that's pretty much what I've been doing with that. Like I pretty much stopped the consultation calls. I don't do them anymore. yeah, I would just take all that money or like a certain, like if I make a certain percentage somewhere, I kind of throw it there. And I'm like, okay, this is my scholarship fund whenever I do that. So that's pretty much where I'm at right now. I guess I'm more so like trying to give back. Like I feel like I'm in a position where I can start giving back right now. And that's, you know, like that's what I kind of enjoy doing. I actually enjoy helping people and things like that. Like, you know, I've always just naturally been a giver. So.
mm-hmm. Mm. And I think that's dope because like in reality, I mean, as far as like getting into the tech space, like what you did, anyone can duplicate that blueprint. Like some people just may need you to plant the seed in their head, or like how you're giving out the scholarship. Somebody just may need that little push to go ahead and go get in that space. So that's really dope. Like you said, a great example. And then just your influence alone can make a whole bunch of people in tech and then eventually make them millionaires as well.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, and that's how you, like even with tech, like you, like, even that, like tech definitely pays great money. You still have to have like that little financial literacy there. Yes. So, cause you know, if you got them when like I know a couple of people that make like a nice chunk of change, but they're not really smart with it. And they spend and they splurging it. So it don't even seem like they're making that much money. Like exactly. You would be surprised, like the amount of people that's making a lot of money and live paycheck to paycheck. Cause I was one of them about 4 years ago. So.
Stuff can change quick, but that like, that also, like how you talked about you was focusing on making $1 million a year. Like we talked about this last night. Like there's a lot of people making $1 million a year, but they ain't got $1 million. Like you talked about, they Like, so the focus, like they always say, like the cliche ain't about how much you make, it's how much you keep and build up on. So that's definitely real. Like, it don't take $1 million to make $1 million.
And that's not starting, you know, it's that time. Like, you know, you have time, like now, like even now, like, cause now, like, you know me, like, I kind of spend money here. Now I'm actually starting to kind of spend my money and, you know, people on Twitter, you know how they are. You know, you spend, like, you talking about this, you doing that. I'm like, bro, like, leave me, like, I know what I'm doing right now. Like, dude, like, you don't feel like you kind of spending too much money here and stuff. I'm like, bro, first off, I haven't touched like none of my 9-to-5 checks for like 6 months now. Like, I strictly made it off investments. Like, I invest 100% of my income now. Like, all they go to stock. Well, I'm actually going into crypto now. I'm still trying to learn a little bit more. I know I invested back in like 2017, Bitcoin. I haven't made a nice chunk of change there, but I never did really get it. It was like one of my coworkers. She's like, you need to invest in Bitcoin. I was like, all right, bet, let me invest. So I ended up investing like my sign-on bonuses and things like that. So I made about 16,000 to 17,000 just off Bitcoin.
That's good.
Yeah. And so now I'm kind of like diversified, trying to go into like Bitcoin and things like that. But yeah, like, you know, Twitter, like, people, I don't know, like, people on Twitter, it just seem like you just like, okay, you don't feel like you're being reckless, you're doing this. Like, they always trying to like give you unlisted advice, especially like financial advice and all that. Like, especially like with the cold cars thing, like, You gonna buy a depreciating act, bro? Leave me alone. Like,
I was gonna say, like, that's actually something like we've been talking about a lot lately because like I get it, like, we all got goals, we all gotta focus in, you know, we gotta save, we gotta budget, we gotta do all that. But at the end of the day, like, we're gonna get one life to live. All of us in our early 20s. And it's like, I understand sacrificing, but if you're doing very well and you're surpassing your goals, it's okay to start enjoying the fruits of your labor. Like, it's okay to buy the things that you really want, as long as it's not impacting you in no negative way. Like, it's not taken from you at all. So it's like, you know, like, you could do that. Like, it's no problem with that at all, to start getting those things.
And that was definitely my biggest problem. Like, it's, I don't know, because it was like at the time, like when I had first got my job, like I was just spending money so regular. Like, around that time, they would have said that I probably never, like, I was like, ah, yeah, you're right. but yeah, I was spending money so recklessly. And then it had got to the point, it's like, I don't really want to ever, like, kind of be back in that situation. So I was being really stingy with my money. Like, I was never really spending it. I was never really doing nothing with it. It was really, I was just investing it. And then I started thinking, I'm like, okay, I'm 23, 22, 23. Like, I think it's time for me to start kind of enjoying it a little bit. Like, right. I'll probably buy a nice thing here. And then now recently I kind of got to the point where I'm like, I'm buying watches now. And like, we talked about this as well yesterday too. Yep. Like, we had met a guy at Moxie's, he like built skyscrapers and things like that. We started talking about watches and, you know, here go my number, like, hit me up, contact me. So it's like it's really like a conversation starter.
It's a conversation starter.
Mm-hmm. Like, it's like, oh, what kind of watch you got on?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, is this it? Oh, and boom. You're a network with somebody, and now you're in a position to probably potentially make even more money with this person. So it's like, you know, like, I buy things like that now, like watches, you know, can be considered an investment as well too, but I can wear it. So like, I just try to like venture out and try to like buy things now that potentially like add more value to me and more things that I'm doing now. Mm-hmm. So, you know, next year around that time, like, I actually plan on trying to get into real estate a little bit more seriously. Right now it's kind of a shit show right now. I'm in the city talking about that. But yeah, so that's kind of like my next plan, kind of like really dive into that next. But right now I'm just really kind of focusing on building on my Town Tech brand. Man, I was talking about this as well too, and I actually plan on trying to like go a full-blown e-learn situation, like trying to help people get to the tech industry, whether you want to learn programming, a business analyst, cybersecurity, networking. I'm pretty much trying to build that out. And like, I even now, like, I'm starting to see like people really like on the timeline on Twitter like that, people are really starting to kind of like, you know, oh, like, really, like, I want to get into the tech industry, I want to get into cybersecurity. Like, I probably get 10 or 15 DMs a day, like, hey, you know, like, I'm thinking about doing this, I'm thinking about doing that. And so at the time, like, I was doing consultation calls, and it was just like, it was really becoming overwhelming, because like, I still have my personal job. I'm still having to go like visit these properties, go visit my property, make sure everything is okay. I'm still having to meet with these people. And now I'm having to talk to 5-6 people a day, trying to help them get into the industry. And I was like, all right, this is way too time consuming. And like, I mean, I still like, you know, tweet stuff out on Twitter, still do that. But I was like, I can't keep that up. It ain't really good for me. Mm-hmm. And so that's when I decided to start like the Get Me In Tech program with cybersecurity. And I, like right now, I think I probably have about like 80 people signed up for that, like 60 to 80 people that signed up for that. And so right now it's been pretty much good. I had just released it. And like right now, like Discord, we just kind of talk about different things. And the thing with that, like it's actually helping them get to the tech. And you know, like people on Twitter, they use like drop something. All right, cool. And that's it. Really kind of be bullshit. But for me personally, I'm actually really trying to help people get into there. Like I even have like a whole career services team. The name of their company, Earn Figures, they do resumes, LinkedIn, all of that. And so they're pretty much actually coming in. They're doing like the resume reviews, helping them like with the LinkedIn, helping them like with interviews, salary negotiations. Like it's legit helping you like get a job. You just got to actually do the work. Cause I can like, you know, we was talking like when coaching programs, whatever the case may be, I can show you literally what you need to do, but I can't do the work for you.
Right.
And so, you know, if I'm giving you access to the information, like I'm literally giving you all the, not all the resources, all the information to where you need to actually get into the tech industry. Now it's on you to actually put in the work, you know, actually do the, and then think about it. Like I simplified it. Like me personally, like me getting to the industry, I didn't really know anything. Like I didn't really have any guidance. I was literally learning things that I probably didn't necessarily need to learn or that I didn't have to use at all. And like with that, they don't really have to go through that process. It's like specifically, this is what you're doing on your job. This is what you're doing. And it'll pretty much help you do that. So that's pretty much what I'm trying to do with like all the different sectors whenever I started launching that out and started doing different things. So that's kind of my whole goal like for 2022. So that's, you know, right now I'm just trying to help people get into the tech industry for the most part.
Mm-hmm. And you said you said you're getting 10 to 15 DMs today. I'm about to let you know you're about to get a lot more after this
show. Yeah, man. It's like it's crazy. And like, and that's the thing. Like I don't be like, cause I don't ignore people, but it's just like if we get into the DMs, man, it turns to a whole conversation. And right. Like I'm really like I have a lot of stuff that I'm doing. So I can't just sit there and have a conversation. With you. And that's why I used to tell people, that's why I kind of started making all these threads. I started writing blogs. I'm like, all right, most of the questions you're probably going to ask me, it's going to be in this blog or it's going to be in my thread. So probably look there. You got any questions then probably hit me up then. But, you know, sometimes people don't really, they don't read, they don't pay attention, and they just going to go straight to the DM first.
I got a question I want to ask you because this is something that I feel like every especially young person, even older people that's winning, but I feel like especially when you're young, like you get asked this question a lot by your peers because it's kind of rare. And it's the question of like, how does it feel to be young with money? Because I'm pretty sure you've been asked this question before. Like everybody that's like making decent money at a young age, got money, got stuff like that. That's the question people always ask that question. And it's a question that's like Cal, you said like you didn't really feel any different after you like getting $1 million. So I want to ask you like just expound on that a little bit more because I'm like I said, people ask this all the time. They ask this shit all the time. Like how does it feel? Yeah. I'm like, it feels good, but it don't feel like out of body experience or nothing like that. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, nah, but I mean, don't get me wrong, it feels amazing. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like me personally, like, you know, being able to like pay all my bills on like auto pay.
Yeah.
Even now, I pay like my grandma bill. Like, she didn't even ask me to do that. But it's just like to the point, it's like, you know, I don't mind doing that. Like, I'm giving them, like, I feel better when I give than like receiving stuff like that. So I'm doing stuff like that. But I mean, overall, man, it's really the same. Like, you know, people will probably like try to reach out to me, probably like try to hang on me, conversate, talk with me. And yeah, it's kind of weird then because it's really like hard to like, you know, distinguish who's like really genuine, like fucking with me or fooling with me or who's just like, all right, if I hang out with this guy, like, could I potentially get put on? Could I do this? And, you know, that's why I'm real selective about who I hang out with now. Mm-hmm. It's like, especially like with the whole me and that, like, you know, that. And honestly, I really probably should have kept that to myself now. Every night, like it's like now, like people just like when they hear that, they just think you have $1 million in the bank.
No, yeah, exactly.
I don't. I have $1 million in the bank. Like but yeah, that's the case. But you know, people definitely ask you for money. Me personally, like I have like certain family members or distant cousins and stuff like that. They're kind of like hit me up for money and things like that. I used to give it to them. But now it's just like, bro, you know, you hit me up about the same thing every other week. You, obviously you're not trying to change nothing. And that's the thing where a lot of people kind of mess up as well too. Like as soon as they get money or, and not even just like constantly keep getting money. As soon as they get like a little bit of money, they want to just like, you know, spend their money, help everybody out. Yeah. And they end up being broke because you trying to, you know, do stuff outside of what you can actually do outside of your means. And yeah, so me personally, like, you know, I'm not going to say like I'm an asshole, I'm in stingy or anything like that. But like, you know, you can't just like allow people to just like constantly use you like that and things like that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's definitely kind of tough to sometimes say no to like, especially like somebody you've been growing up with, like it's like your brother. Right. Y'all really, like, you know, we've been with each other like since we were toddlers and things like that. Or even just like other things, it's just, it becomes hard, but after a while, it's just like, I mean, I gotta, you know, do what's best for me. Like, you're not doing anything to like, try to better your situation. And it's been multiple times, like, when I first started, like, doing my investing, like, my close friends and stuff like that, I hit them up, like, hey, like, bro, I got this killer, like, investing, investment deal. Like, man, it'd be really dope. Like, you should jump in. Nah, I'm gonna wait to see, you know, how it work out with you. And like, so you want me to risk, like, you know what I mean? Like, don't get me wrong. I kind of get the concept, but my thing is like, you want me to risk my money first. And when you see like the proven product, it's like, all right, cool, I'm gonna do it then. At that point, I'm like, you know, it may sound wrong now, but it's like, I you know what I mean? Like at that point, it's like, I don't feel like obligated to help you anymore. Cause I originally came to you when it first happened, but now it's just like, nah, I don't want to do it. You know, let me see you the proof of the concept first. And I'm just like, all right, so now this, like, you know, this not gonna work out. Like, you know, don't get me wrong. Like, you know, especially nowadays, you know, it's a lot of scamming that's going on. So, you know, you definitely want to kind of be careful. But when you're investing, that's the risk that you're going to take. Like, you're going to lose money here. Yep. And I think that's the biggest thing with people, like, when it comes to trying to get money. Like, I want to make money. I'm like, bro, you're going to have to spend some money. Like, like, especially, like, with a certain type of money, you're going to have to spend some money. And you're going to lose money. Because I know, like, when I first, like, trying to just, like, learn how to trade options and stuff like that, man, I lost so much money, but it was learning a lesson, and I'm like, okay, well, I know what to do now. But like, yeah, overall, man, yeah, it's pretty much the same. Like, it's nothing really changed. I mean, people kind of like low-key, I guess, treat you differently now. Like, I ain't gonna say, like, what's the word I'm looking for, an appropriate word, you know, big bro. So yeah, so, you know, and that gets kind of weird. It's like people out there kind of talk with people. I'm like,
and a lot of times it'd be people that's actually older than you.
Yeah, and it's so weird. Yeah. Like, it's a lot of people that's like, I'm like, rude. But then, like, a lot of things, like, then you also get some of those DMs. Like, I've definitely got, like, a few, like, DMs and things like that with women. Like, oh, like, you know, I really feel like you're a great example. Like, my son, like, he looks at your videos, things like that. Like, it's really nice to see, like, a young black man that's not, that he has to make money through rapping, or scamming, selling drugs, sports, and things like that.
Which,
like,
is dope, okay, which is dope. There.
Yeah. And so, and that's why I really pride myself, because it's like, I actually had to be smart. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't, and don't get me wrong, like, sports, rapping, it's all take hard work. But my thing is, like, I actually had to, like, I'm setting myself up to where, like, I can probably maneuver my way, like, kind of any situation for some fact. Like, I'm business smart now. Because, like, a lot of, like, people, they end up trying to get money, like, they go broke because they don't really, like, have people around them because, like, hey, no, don't do that, or be smart with your money. You got people that's stealing their money. You got them, like, got the friends encouraging them, go blow money, go do this. And me, like, I actually had to be financially smart to get to where I'm at. So, you know, I feel like I'd be able to hold on to my wealth a little bit longer, or at least keep my wealth. So, that's kind of like,
that's real. That's real. A lot of stuff you just told, that's real, man. I feel like sometimes, sometimes the best thing you can do for somebody is to tell them no. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, because you don't become a crush to them where they can feel like, oh, well, I know if I get caught in a bond, I could always call on Tay. I know if I get stuck in a situation, I could call on Tay. I could make like bad decisions because I know Tay gonna be the one to pick me up when I fall down. It's like,
I'm not.
No, I'm not, bro.
Not at all.
That's not beneficial.
It's not helping you. It's definitely not helping me. Like, at this point, you're my kid. At this point, paying your bills now. So it's like, I say no in a heartbeat now. Like, at first, I used to have problems with it, but now it's just like, bro, no, man, it's You know what I mean? Like, it's so much like information out on the internet, and like right. in the age, like, bro, you have people like social media is legit making millionaires with people and stuff like that. And yep. it's like, you, bro, all you gotta do open up your phone, search some Google, or even get on Twitter, because I know I used to use Twitter for like a lot of BS, and like around like I think like the November to November or December before like the pandemic happened, like Ari. You know, Ari's pretty much been like a lot of success for a lot of people like on social mm-hmm. media. And like she was just like, stop tweeting BS. Like, you know what I mean? Like, as you see when you mm-hmm. talk about tech, you talk about finance, like people mm-hmm. actually gravitate towards that. And I was like, right, let me see how true. Like, I was like, I wasn't paying attention to it. But I was like, let me see. I made like a little tweet, boom, boom, just talking about tech industry. I think
went crazy.
I think I probably got like 40,000 retweets or something like that. There's a flux of people come, oh, like you're in the tech industry, like how are you? Like it was just all these questions. And so I'm like, okay, all right. Like, you know, I'm providing a little value here. So let me keep doing this. Like, I think from like November to that time to now, I think around that time I had around like 7,000 followers. Now I think I got like 16,000. And it's just like solely mm-hmm. because I'm talking about finance, talking about, the tech industry, like I'm providing value. And mm-hmm. you know, people, and that's the thing, like, and that's why I say, like, people are like, oh no, social, like, don't get me wrong, social media can be a little whack, you know, it's a little crazy on
yeah,
the end.
Yeah, got pros and cons.
That be, yeah, but like, if you go follow the right people, like, when I had realized, like, the power of Twitter, like, Instagram, I'm on Instagram as well too, but Twitter is like,
Twitter where it's at.
Yeah, Twitter's where it's at. Mm-hmm. And I was like, all right, unfollow. Like, I just, like, because my timeline was just, like, full of women. Like, so I was like, unfollow. Like, you know what I mean? Let me change, like, what I'm seeing every day. And, like, as I started changing everything, now, even with Instagram, like, I just, like, I follow, like, a lot of women. Like, unfollow. Let me just follow, like these business pages. Let me follow, like, people that I know that's doing like entrepreneurship, that's doing real estate, that probably doing e-commerce, like social media marketing. Like, let me follow these people. Let me see, like, this is stuff that I want to see every day. And when I started seeing it, like, you know, like when I see people like make, oh, I made $30,000 this week. I made $40,000. I'm like, what do you do? Like,
what'd
now
you do?
I'm like, well, yeah, like, you know, instead of like, you know, a lot of people, like, instead of like people like, oh, what do? A lot of people like, why are you gloating? Why are you doing? I'm like, that's not really, like me personally, I look at it as like, you showing me it's possible to like make this type of money doing this type of thing. So let me kind of look into this. Mm. But like, I guess it's just like a really mindset thing. Like being able to like look at that instead of like, why would you do that? Like it's people that starving, people that's doing that. Like don't get me wrong, yeah, it is. But you know, instead of thinking that way, like actually sit there and try to think like, what is this person doing to make this type of money? And so like, as I started doing that, and that's when I really just like, I met Ari, then I met B's, then I met B, Josh, mm-hmm. you. Like it's just like I just really started.
It'd be a trickle myself. Effect.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so it's like I get introduced to this person. They introduced me to this person. So it really just began a trickle effect. And now it's just like, all right, I see what they're doing. I see, you know, I need a little advice. I can hit this person up. They're going like it really just came to a point. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, like this is pretty cool. Like, you know, and it all started from social media. Twitter. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like I really like Twitter. I can say Twitter changed my life. Twitter is definitely the reason how I became like I got to the situation that I'm in now, like 100%.
I said the same thing all the time. I'll be like, man, Twitter changed my life, bro. Like, that's it. Man, that's why I'm like, man, my network's so crazy now. Like, just to even forget the money part, the business part, just like the relationships that I built. Mm-hmm. And you know what I'm saying? It's like some real strong, crazy. Real relationships. It's
crazy.
It's like, crazy.
On Twitter, you can legit find somebody like anything, credit, CPA, tech, like somebody's on there and they're going to give you some game. It's weird or not what you're going to do with the game. Like,
what you going to do with it?
Yeah, you mm-hmm. can like, and that's the thing I'd be like, I guess you call them course chasers. Like they be all these courses and things like that, but they don't do nothing with it. I'm like, mm-hmm. like, what's the point of money? Like, you just gonna read it, you just gonna look at the videos, not do nothing with it. It defeats the whole purpose. Yeah. So, like, if you actually, you know, you do it and you do, you know, like, actually apply it to your life, actually do that. And that's also another thing that I was into as well too. I never hardly ever talk about this, but like I be dealing with like electronics and stuff like that a lot. I be dealing with like, cause we have a warehouse, a GameStop warehouse up here in Grapevine.
And so I'd be flipping technology like Amazon Echoes or Google Home, Google Hubs, and man, that's actually a nice little chunk of change to that too. And people don't really know about that. Yeah, like put it on offer, because I normally put it on offer up or eBay and stuff like that. And yeah, I make a decent amount of money off that as well too. But I never really talk about it because it's just like, you know, people ain't gonna really do it. Right. They might do it. It's a couple people I've told about that actually tried to do it, but they just like they don't have the time, they don't want to deal with it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like anytime I was like, okay, well, let me hit up GameStop, go to GameStop and pick, let's see what they got. All right, I'm gonna pick that up, cool, bid, pick it up, sell it. Like it'd be going by so fast. I think the last thing I had bought, I had bought like 20 iPhones or something like that. Flipped them, sold them, eBay. Like, you know, offer up. Like, it's crazy. Like,
yeah, it's crazy.
I'm only doing that, like a lot of the different stuff. Man, I don't even talk about it. Like, it's like a lot of stuff that I really just don't really talk about. But, you know, sometimes people don't really want to hear that. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. You know how I go.
I was gonna say real quick, like it's a million ways to make money. You just gotta be creative and find one. Like, and you are
probably that's exactly it. And it really comes down to who you know as well too. Like a lot of like the big investments where I just really make my passive income, it's probably because I came into somebody and we end up talking or somebody connected me with them. It's just like, oh, like yeah, let me try this out. Like, you know, if this person doing it, like, you know, they introduced me, I feel like, you know, that, you know, you're trustworthy. Like it's a certain person that they gotta introduce me to you for me to be like, all right, I know it's 100% legit, or I feel good about it, let me do it. So that actually, like, you know, having people vouch for you and things like that, that's definitely that's big right now, especially like with the social media and things like that. You have like all these different people
who you never really know
what they're supposed to do. Yeah.
You never be known for real. Unless you know them, you're around them, you know people that mess with them, vouch for them, all that, then you be like, okay, yeah,
I
know
this person. Right. I trust this enough, right. I'll do it.
Exactly.
That'd be the best investments.
Mm-hmm. But let me ask you this though, because I know people hear this, right? And people always think whenever you make a certain amount of money, you just supposed to up and leave your job. You know what I'm saying? So people, exactly. So people hear this like, man, he's 24, he a millionaire, but he still keep his 9-to-5. Why is that? I already know, but it's for the people that don't understand why it's good to keep, especially if you got one that's making you good money. Like, just touch on that for a second.
So, yeah. So I actually get that question a lot. Dude, like, why? I'm like, man, okay, first off, I love what I do.
Mm-hmm.
I get paid great money and I have benefits. And benefits is expensive, man. And you know what I mean?
It is.
And I pretty much, I get to create my own schedule. Like I wake up around 5:30 in the morning. I finish around 2, maybe 3. Sometimes I'm done around 1 o'clock. So, you know what I mean? Like, why would I give that up? Because, you know, I make this much money here or there. And now I want to keep making money. Come on, bring it in. This is money. Like honestly, I always say, like, I probably never really quit my 9-to-5 unless it just really got to the situation where I could not. It interfered.
You'd be losing money. You'd be losing money.
If it started causing me to lose money, it caused me to do something like deal with something like that, then yeah, I'm leaving. But besides that, if it's, you know, it's not really dealing with anything or it's not really just messing up nothing, like, I'm gonna keep my job. Like I tell people that all the time. Now you got like these entrepreneurs or these IG influencers, like they try to bully people into like trying to quit their 9-to-5s and stuff like that. And I'm like, bro, like you you know what I mean? Like, and people like they're so gullible and stuff like that. And then you got people that's like really just like talking down bad on like 9-to-5. I'm like, bro, you own a business and you need employees. So how are you going to talk down on your, like, it's really stupid. Like I don't know. People just don't really think about what they said before they said and the meaning of it. But yeah, like that's pretty much like the main reason. Like, I mean, the money's great. I love it. Benefits, 401k matches. Mm-hmm. And then it even helped me with my taxes a little bit. Cause like I'm already kind of paying taxes a little bit coming out my income. So it's like, and then like all my, like my business stuff like that, it's like single member LLCs, probably need to change it. So it's like all of it kind of gets taxed together, but it's like, okay, well, I'm already kind of paying taxes here a little bit, so it helped me out a little bit. So it's just like not overly bad. So yeah, I don't really plan on it
at all. I don't blame you. And like you said, since you invest in all the money, you trade in pretty much as an investor.
Exactly. Like, it's job, pretty much, man, an investment. That's exactly what it is. Like, I legit, like, I give my money, I pay my bills. Like, legit, I invest most of my money now. Like, now I'm kind of getting to the point where I want to stay a little liquid. So, right. I, like, you know, I'm a little liquid now and things like that, because I'm starting to get in those social circles where I never really know when, like, an investment opportunity present itself. Exactly. So it's just like, all right, because normally, you know, sometimes, you know, when you're transferring money from, like, your savings account and stuff like that, because me, I don't have, like, a savings account connected to my bank account. Like, all my stuff is, like, separate. I don't like seeing, like, my savings max from other money, because I'm like, oh, I have that money. Like, I actually like to forget that I don't have that money. So I just gotta have all that. And it takes 2 to 3 days to transfer that money. Sometimes investment, and I got 2 to 3 days. It's like, hey, we need it now. So it's like, I want to have that money. I bet wired or, you know, whatever the case may be, and just kind of deal with it like that. So that's kind of what I'm trying to, like, that's the route that I'm taking right now. Like, just really been looking for, like, different investment opportunities right now. And I've even been talking, you know, we've been talking with Dawson. So, but yeah.
Yeah. That's a, man, like, it's a lot of things that come with, like, once you know how to network and put yourself in different environments and know how to meet different people, talk to different people, like, that's why I think that's why it becomes much easier and easier to make money, because it's really about the connections you get. Exactly. And once you got good connections, it's making money becomes no problem for real.
Easy. Especially when you have, like, a little bit of money to invest with them, man, it becomes so much. So, like, the term, like, it takes money to make money. It's definitely true. And, you know, sometimes, like, you know, you don't need a ton of money sometimes, but you definitely gonna have to put in a lot more work.
Right.
You know, versus, you know, like, say, for instance, like, with wholesalers, like, kind of like with real estate and things like that. Also, like, you can still make money, not spending much money, but you're going to work like a dog trying to make that money versus, like, someone that has little cash, little capital, and kind of go in and go buy these property and things like that. Like, as a wholesaler, you got to go find a property. You gotta, like, send out these tickets.
Yeah, you gotta do it.
You just, like, you have to do a lot of different things. But once you start getting your money, start things like that, now you're on the other side of things. Like, okay, well, I can just use the connection that I made there, or now it's over that grinding and things like that. Now I'm on the other side of things. So it's easier for me to make a little bit more money now, and, like, stuff that's come to you a little bit easier. And so that's kind of the same thing, just, like, you know, like, in life in general. Like, when you don't have that ton of money, like, you know, the first thing people go to now have a ton of money is stocks.
Yep.
They're gonna try to learn how to trade stocks, trade options. Case maybe they build up their little money there, then they go venture off to something that's probably real estate. That's usually what most people do, or they'll probably, like, build a course or something. But, you know, when they actually go into investing, but they're going to, like, real estate, doing something like that. And yeah, like me, I don't really want real estate to kind of be, like, the end all for me. Like, I actually want to go into, like, private equity, like, actually going in, like, buying some companies before they go IPO, like, catching companies early. So that's really, like, the end game for me. That's really what I want to do. I want to kind of, like, get into the situation where I really want to be an investor. I don't want to be a business owner. Like, me personally, like, running a business is a lot of work. Like, you're having to deal with, like, a lot of different personalities. You're having to deal with, like, a lot of people. And then, you know, you have people on social media that's like, oh, be an entrepreneur. I'm like, bro, entrepreneurship is not for everybody. Because for the longest, I was like, entrepreneurship is not for me. Like, I don't have to deal with people. But I kind of got forced to have to go into entrepreneurship because of, like, my branding on Twitter. Like, it was like, you know what I mean? Like, oh, I see an opportunity where I can probably, like, you know, make a little money here, help people out. So it's like, you have to do it now. Right. So I'm like, all right, let me kind of go instead of doing that. And then they kind of build on side. Let me, you know, it started building the different ideas. Okay, let me jump to this. Let me do that. So, you know, like, that was kind of my take on it. Cause I always said, like, I was really complacent with, like, the salary that I was getting. I'm like, cool. Like, you know, I'm making 6 figures. So I don't really have to do anything else. But yeah, it just entrepreneurship pretty much just kind of came to me. Like, when I was younger, I was an entrepreneur, flipping shoes, fixing phones and things like that. But I didn't really just kind of look at it like that. Mm-hmm. And I kind of got to this point, like, it just, I kind of got thrown and forced into it for the most part. And so just seeing people just, like, really just, like, always trying to bash, like, 9 to 5. I'm just, and then, you know, on Twitter, like, people automatically assume, like, oh, yeah, let's teach. I'm like, bro, I have a 9 to 5 too. Like, I'm with you too. Like, you know what I mean? Like, no, like, yeah, I have a business, but I also have the 9 to 5. So, And then with me, like the whole LLC Twitter thing is it really be kind of pissing me off a little bit. Like, just cause like I'm doing well for myself. I'm doing and you know, for the people that's probably don't really know what LLC Twitter is, it's basically just like a group of individuals who have their own business that's doing well in life. That's really all it is. And people just try to make it seem like it's a bad thing. And I'm always like, when I had dropped the course, I was like, bro, like, you charging for this information? People can Google this. Google. I'm like, bro,
well, Google anything, it then.
And that's what I like to try to tell people. I'm like, well, first off, bro, I've been giving free game for years. Two, three years. Like, the reason I'm doing this so I can eliminate the whole consultation calls. I don't want to have to deal with that no more. Like, I'm actually, you know what I mean? Like, it's there. Yes, you can Google it. Anything you want to learn, you can Google it. But it's all in one area. It's broken down to where pretty much anybody can understand it. So, yeah, you know, like, if I sit there, and then it took like 3-4 months, and then the ice storm in Texas messed up my computers and stuff like that. So it's like, I had to re-push it back. Like, I'm breaking in this life to do this. So, yeah.
Everybody should charge for their course. And even the thought process when people say stuff like, oh, well, you shouldn't pay for courses because you can Google all the information. Well, duh, you can Google it, but let's be honest.
It's all here most, in one thing. Are you gonna do it?
They're right. Most people are not fucking gonna Google it, and they don't even know how to put it together. Even when they Google it, they still be confused because they don't know how to actually put it together step by step. So when you buy somebody course, that's what you're paying for. It's all one place put together. You can see exactly what to do. It's broken down and broken in simple language for you to understand it. Like, and that's not going to happen every time when you Google something, YouTube something. You still not going to get all the information because the people that's putting it on Google, they not putting all the information there because they know
Because you know, man, what
want somebody to pay
experience.
For.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, and that's what people don't really realize. Like, because me, I pay for courses. Like, I'm not gonna like, I pay
me
for
too.
Courses here and there. Me like, too. Some courses that I probably never like advertise, but it's some good courses too. Like, you know what I mean? Like, oh yeah, like this is a real good course. Like, because me personally, like, I'm getting to the point now. Like, I'm gonna say I'm kind of lazy now. Like, I don't like. I want, like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm in a position, like, I just want it all in one place.
That's so like, the curse, that's like pay, a curse yeah. of making money.
Yeah. Like, I just go ahead and just pay, you know, I'd rather pay this person. They know it way better than I do. I bet. Let me, oh, it's not like, okay, this is good. This, okay, boom, boom, boom. It's put, like, and it's just like, I bet. So now when I actually see it in the course, I can actually, now I know what to Google. Because a lot of times, people don't know the right questions to ask.
Exactly.
Like, and you know, like, it's like, you know what you want to do, but it's like, okay, what's the question that I need to ask? And that's what I was getting like a lot when it came to like people trying to get into the tech industry and stuff like that. They didn't necessarily know like the right questions. Like they didn't really know. They're just like, hey, I want to get to the tech industry. I'm like, well, okay, like what are you good at? Like what do you do right now? What type of person are you? Like what are you looking forward to? Like, you know, things like that. It's really and that's the thing, like when it comes to like cybersecurity or programming, things like that. Cybersecurity and programming is way too different thing. Like programming, you use a completely different side of your brain when you're programming than cybersecurity. And me personally, like programming not for me. I hate it. It's boring. I would never do it. and I just be trying to tell people that they get into the tech industry. I want to be a software engineer. I was like, okay, let me tell you what they go through. Right. Do you want to do that? Do you like? And man, they be like. Like software engineer may be one of the most stressful, like depending on the company, yeah, it's real stressful. Like you're constantly working, like and then think about it, bro. You may be like debugging or trying to fix your problem in your code, taking 6-7 hours trying to debug it. And it was one simple error. You got a semicolon, you left a space out, like it's stuff like that. And that would drive you crazy. Like you constantly sitting there trying to figure it out. And you know, like, you know, people get like people's stress tolerance not the same. And me personally, that's not for me. I'm not about to be stressed at work. And with cybersecurity, me personally, I don't be stressed. You know what I mean? Like it's cool. Like I love it. So yeah.
You provide a lot of value with this one, man. was Deanna, you had any other questions before we ended it?
No, Tay, he gave all the game I needed.
What about you, Tay? You want to talk? You want to go over something else that we didn't get to go over yet? Because I pretty much asked all my questions.
Nah, I mean, we pretty much kind of covered everything. Yeah, y'all can follow me on Twitter and Instagram.
Yeah, we definitely gonna follow that. So for the people that's they want to stay in touch with you, like first regarding the course, like what can they, if they want to get into tech and they want to buy the course and help get started, do you just first go over like what does all your course entails, and then for the person that wants to buy it, how can they get it?
Okay. Yeah, so for my course, it's basically, it's pretty much teaching how to be like an entry-level SOC analyst. Those salaries pretty much depends on like what location you're in the city or in the country, range from 70 to 100 plus, really just kind of depend on experience, your skill set, and things like that. So honestly, me personally, I really feel like, you know, going to the tech industry, going to like security, pretty good. Like you don't have to learn programming. You don't pretty much have to learn any of that. You just pretty much learning basic fundamentals of networking, security. Like it's pretty much it. Like people think you have to be a genius to be in security, but you really don't, especially as a SOC analyst. But pretty much in this in the course, it's pretty much teaching you like basic Linux skills, network fundamentals, teaching you how to navigate towards like different firewalls, switching, IDS intrusion detection centers, teach you Splunk skills. That's definitely a very high value skill that's in the tech industry. Just learn Splunk by itself, you can like definitely just venture off from security and just become like a Splunk engineer, Splunk developer, Splunk architect, and then make a ton of money as well too. So then of course you're definitely learning like a lot of different skills that allow you to put maneuver into different sectors to the tech industry. So say for instance, you know, you feel like security is not just necessary for you, well, I'm teaching you networking skills. So you can go to like network engineering, you can go into NOC analyst, you can go into that. Or necessarily, I'm teaching you vulnerability management as well too. You can go into like vulnerability management. So it's definitely like a lot of different skills that you can like just maneuver into the industry. And then on top of that, I have like a Discord community in there where I have like a designated career services team that pretty much help you network on LinkedIn. And create you a resume once you finish the course. So you get that. You get like pretty much the one-on-one help within the Discord. You have any questions, certification help. So it's pretty much like all of that. Like it's pretty much like I'm giving you the information and then I'm turning around and I'm also helping you and giving you the resources that I also have that I've gained over a few years. And I'm helping and I'm giving up to you to help you potentially find you a job. So I have like recruiters and everything already kind of lined up that's looking for like entry level SOC analysts and things like that. So like over the years, I've definitely been networking and they're like, okay, yeah, when they come in, like, cause they already know who I am. I've already built the brand. And so like, okay, well, I know what you're capable of. I know what you know. So I feel like that'd be a real great opportunity. And with that, you can get the course at getmeintech.com. And I'm currently $397. I'm actually doing like a 20% off right now. Through the rest of the week, probably end up canceling it like probably next Sunday or something like that. But me personally, I really feel like it's really valued. Like it's a really great value, especially like the situation, like a lot of courses don't actually like help you do and help you put you in positions to actually better yourself. It's just like, here go the information, do what you want to do. So it's actually kind of me trying to hold them accountable. It's not an accountable thing. It's not me holding your hand or anything like that. But I'm just really just basically providing you with information to learn the skills and then go out and go get a job.
Right. Okay. So yes, for those that's listening that want to get started in tech, definitely go grab that, man, and soak up that game and get the ball rolling. And also before we let you go, just plug in all your stuff where people can find you, follow you, and all that good stuff.
My Instagram is Tayon Tech. It's actually TAY0N Tech. I've been trying to get my real name for like quite some time. And on Twitter it's Tayon Tech. That's Tayon Tech, TAYONTECH. I'm more active on Twitter. I'm on Instagram here and there, but most of the free game and most of the information that I really just talk about is probably gonna be on Twitter.
Okay. And wrapping up, man, I just want to say thank you again for taking time out of your busy schedule to come on the show and chop it up with us, man. This was extremely, extremely valuable for people to be able to hear conversations that we've been having regularly these past couple of weeks and months and stuff like that. But before we end, I would say for those, you guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Xavier C. Miller. And D, what's your info?
You can follow me on Twitter at Deanna S. Kent and Instagram Deanna Kent. And be sure to subscribe to the Lessons in Life and Luxury YouTube channel.
and Millionaire Mindsets Podcast. You can follow on Instagram and Twitter as well. And that's all we have for you guys. Appreciate y'all for tuning to another episode of the Millionaire Mindsets Podcast. See you guys next episode. Peace.
Turn me up something.
Gotta get your brain right if you're trying to make $1 million. If you ain't gonna do it for yourself, then do it for your mama. Only stay surrounded by them people if you know they solid. Elevate your hustle up today to double up your profit. Trying to learn some game, Xavier gonna talk about it. No, Deanna, speak that shit that everybody vouching. Ain't no more excuses valid. Get up off the couch and get up in your bag. To your bank account, need an accountant. I study millionaires cause I was born a visionary. You still believe in limitations, why you acting scary? You can't distract me from the paper. I've been chasing greatness. I'm stacking now and balling later. In the conversation, we strategizing, monetizing, piling up investments, and sacrificing temporary shit for bigger blessings. Yeah, a tapped in boss mind state. I multiply my grind rate and I match the way I vibrate. Gotta get your brain right if you're trying to make $1 million. If you ain't gonna do it for yourself, then do it for your mama. Only stay surrounded by them people if you know they solid. Elevate your hustle up today to double up your profit. Trying to learn some game, Xavier gonna talk about it. No, Deanna, speak that shit that everybody vouching. Ain't no more excuses valid. Get up off the couch and get up in your bag. To your bank account, need an accountant.